Kings of Macedonia, Philip as hostage. Now, 369 BCE, as I said before, the Theban general Philopates imposed a peace on Macedonia and the warring cities of Thessaly, and Philip was sent as a hostage to Thebes, along with 30 sons of Macedonian nobles. Now, Philip spent almost 3 years in Thebes, much or all of the time living as a guest in the house of Pamenes, a wealthy and well-connected aristocrat. Although he was not free to leave, this was a very loose and comfortable confinement. For generations, the Argeids had embraced Greek and especially Athenian culture, so that Philip was already well-read and familiar with the great works of literature and drama. A Macedonian boy was also prepared for war, learning to ride and fight from a young age. Hunting was both the great joy of the aristocracy and further training for war. It was said that a Macedonian had to sit rather than recline on a couch at dinner until he had killed a boar without trapping it in a net. No doubt such a custom only applied to aristocratic males and may have been less rigid in practice than outsiders like to think, but courage and skill at arms were expected of a young Argeid male. Greek city-state monarchies such as Macedonia is inherently backward. Even so, aristocratic culture in most cities remained a little closer to these old-fashioned ways. Aristocrats could afford to keep horses to ride for pleasure, for travel, and for the thrill of the hunt. In Athens or elsewhere, the wealthiest class was known as the hippies, horsemen or knights. They also had leisure time to study and discuss and to devote themselves wholeheartedly to physical training, competition, and displays in the gymnasium. Philopates was renowned for his obsession with physical training and bodybuilding. Thus, although the experience was different, it was not wholly alien to Philip's upbringing. In later life, his attitude towards Thebes was pragmatic, suggesting neither great love nor particular hatred. He treated Panemus as a friend, and although it was politically convenient to do so, the emotion may well have been genuine. Accepting the hospitality of an aristocrat, whether simply visiting his home as a private individual, or as a representative of state, or even a hostage, was believed to create a bond on both sides, a guest friendship of a sort familiar from Homer's poems. One source claims that Pamenes and Philip were lovers, but stories of this sort are common enough whenever a youth came into contact with a famous man, and it is impossible to know whether or not there's any truth in it. Pamenes was an important man who had already made something of a military reputation and would go on to lead Theban armies. He was on very good terms with Epaminondas, who alongside Philopates had led the recent Theban resurgence, commanding the army and fighting in the front rank when the Spartans were beaten at the Battle of Electra. Through his host, Philip thus came into contact with the most famous commander of his day. Epaminondas was a serious man, a devotee of Pythagorean philosophy, which apart from its interest in numbers and formulae, made him refuse to eat meat or participate in animal sacrifice. Although an aristocrat by birth, he was not wealthy, and was seen as something of an eccentric because he seemed to revel in a simple life devoted to learning and virtue. Plutarch says that Philip comprehended his, that is, Epaminondas' efficiency in war and campaigns, but was neither by nature nor choice inclined to copy his restraint, justice, magnanimity, and gentleness, wherein Epaminondas was truly great. Some ancient sources say that the years in Thebes had an important influence on Philip, but they do not go into detail. Modern scholars have often gone much further, claiming that it's these years he learned about military equipment and training and tactics, strategy, politics, and diplomacy. All we can definitely say is that for several years he experienced life among the elite in the leading Greek city-state. He had the chance to witness the vagaries of politics within Thebes and among wider community of city-states. For in these years, Theban prestige was at its height. Politics and war would have filled as much or more of the conversation among his hosts than ideas and culture. How much he understood and learned from all this is pure speculation. Well, we certainly know that Philip completely changed the Macedonian army. The Thebans had used a double-length spear that they used against the Spartans, which was very effective. And, of course, that was then moved into the Macedonian army at its core. Now, one of the things that also takes place at this time, we have a mass going on in Macedonia. in 368 BCE or early 367 BCE, Alexander II of Macedonia was stabbed to death during a ritual war dance held as part of a festival, situation which inevitably put the king close to a number of armed young men. Although one man was executed for the murder, most seem to believe it was actually led by Ptolemy Aloras, who was a prominent member of Amystasis III's court. Diodorus says that Ptolemy was a son of Amystasis and a brother to the young king. Perhaps he was the child of a third, otherwise unknown wife to Amystasis, or simply an Argrid from another branch of the family. But usually we simply don't know. Justin blames Eurydice for the murder of her own son. Some historians have identified Ptolemy as the unnamed son-in-law and lover with whom she was supposed to have conspired in her earlier years. Well, Perdiccas wasn't quite old enough to succeed, so Ptolemy took charge as regent and at one point actually proclaimed himself king. But the position of Macedonia remained weak. Eventually, Philippides of Thebes intervened after the murder of Alexander II, but moderated his stance and came to terms after Ptolemy made some bribes of mercenary soldiers serving with the Thebans. Then another 50 hostages, including Ptolemy's son, were then sent to Thebes, but Ptolemy remained in power. Now, in 367 BCE, Pausanias, an exiled Argrid, probably from another branch of the royal family, invaded with his own force of mercenaries, and he mounted his campaign from Chalcedon on the east and found substantial support. Well, Iphicrates was a famous Athenian commander who had spent a lot of his life campaigning in the north as a representative of his own city and a mercenary leader. He had married a Thracian princess and at some point had dealings with Macedonia and Amystasis III, who was said to have adopted him. At the moment, he happened to be in command of a squadron of Athenian warships, hovering around the city of Amphipolis, trying to reestablish an Athenian presence in the Chalcedon in spite of the hostility of the cities there. Well, Ptolemy appealed to him for help, though our sources suggested the lead was taken by Eurydice. Supposedly, she reminded the Athenian general of her late husband Amystasis had made you his son and enjoyed the friendship of the city of Athens. In honor of this relationship, she begged for his protection, now for her sons in Macedonia. Well, it worked, and the Athenian general chased Pausanias out of Macedonia and preserved the dynasty. Although that story was told decades after it happened, usually when he was defending himself against charges of misconduct during a subsequent embassy to Philip, and was keen to show that he had reminded the Macedonian monarch of Athens' past service to him. Philip was 14 or 15 at the time, and Perdiccas was 1 year older. So neither was little, and the image of them sitting on the Athenian general was highly unlikely. Besides, Philip was also a hostage in Thebes at the time and nowhere near the royal court. Ptolemy was eventually murdered in 365 BCE by Perdiccas, or at least someone acting on his behalf. The second of Philip's brothers now became the sole ruler, no longer controlled by a regent. Perhaps he had simply reached an age when he was old enough to rule without a regent, or could no longer be easily controlled, prompting a power struggle which culminated in assassination. His policies did not differ from those of the dead regent, and at first did not favor Athens. Instead, he renewed his alliance with Thebes, and as part of this agreement, Philip was sent home, and Philip would never again find himself in the hands of enemies or any other foreign power. So now we are ready for the rise of Philip to power. Now the sources for this, The Politics by Aristotle, The Histories by Herodotus, Histories, 12 volumes, by Diodorus Siculus, Peloponnesian War by Thucydides, and The Lives by Plutarch. Philip and Alexander, Kings and Conquerors by Goldsworthy. History of Macedonia, Volume 1 and Volume 2 by Hammond. In the Shadow of Olympus, The Emergence of Macedonia by Borgia. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment. Check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.